ISIS seemed to pop out of nowhere last summer. Seemed to, unless you've been paying attention to the turmoil unfolding in Iraq and Syria, specifically the growing sectarian divide between Sunnis and Shias in Iraq under former Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. His Shia-dominated government was accused of alienating Sunnis. That fueled Sunni extremism, and that gave rise to the so-called Islamic State militant group. Our colleagues at Frontline have a new documentary called The Rise of ISIS. I spoke with writer and producer Martin Smith. I mean, it seems the theme in this edition of Frontline, Martin, is that the Sunnis did all they could to protest the way the Maliki government dismissed them and excluded them from state affairs. They voted, they demonstrated, they used civil disobedience. But finally, like, the only thing left was violence. How blatant had discrimination toward the Sunnis actually gotten?
Well, you know, they had a sectarian war back in 2006, 2007, and as a result of a surge in U.S. troops and turning the Sunni tribesmen against al-Qaeda, they were able to quash that, and that war settled down. By the time the Americans left, things were in, you know, relatively good shape. But those sectarian tensions were always there, have been there. And when Maliki then has a free hand after the exit of the Americans, he gives way to his fears, his sectarian fears. When he looks at Sunnis, he sees plots against him of various stripes, either from Ba'athists from the former regime of Saddam or jihadis, al-Qaeda, whatever. And so he began a lot of activity that just made things worse.
I mean, the idea that ISIS and the rise of ISIS basically is the story of Nouri al-Maliki using brute force to kind of halt this Sunni spring, if you will, a democratic demonstration of Sunnis in the streets, only, you know, for it to fail. I mean, that kind of seems like two-pat an explanation. You profile, or at least show us, these two ministers, these Sunni ministers under Maliki, who had their security guard arrested and fired. Do they believe that that is the narrative, that this was kind of Maliki trying to stop a second Sunni uprising?
Well, I mean, when you say it's too pat of an answer, I mean, if you take a large group of people that are demonstrating peacefully, many of whom are unemployed young men, the population of Iraq is the youngest in the Middle East, you have all these unemployed young men gathering in these demonstrations, and then Maliki takes his police and his army take weapons to them and confront them violently, massacre them, you're certainly going to get some of those young men to turn to the existing jihadi group. Now, the fact that al-Qaeda in Iraq existed is not the fault of Maliki, for sure. But, I mean, the fact that it gained strength, you know, after his repressions, I think is a fair assessment. And that's what those ministers, the two fellows you're referring to, do believe, that, in fact, Maliki and his repression of Sunnis left many of them with no alternative but to turn to ISIS. Mm.
So ISIS, are we talking an army of fringe Sunni fighters and former Ba'athists? I mean, how much support are they getting from, like, reasonable Sunni citizens who are fed up with Maliki?
Well, that's a good question. What we do know is it's more than just some former Ba'athist military officers who are looking to regain power and some jihadis. Those guys spent a lot of time in prisons under Maliki, and also when the Americans were there, and they got to know each other well and they came to common cause. But it's more importantly, it's the tribes of Iraq. It's the Sunni tribes who tried over and over again to find a role to play in the new government under the Shia-led government of Maliki. And they were promised during the surge or during the Sunni awakening that they would be integrated into the Iraqi security forces, and that didn't happen. Those tribes lent a lot of support. Some of those tribesmen joined up and fought against the government of Nouri al-Maliki. Now, some of those tribes have turned yet again and are fighting on the side of the government against ISIS. Mm.
If this is a Sunni-Shia story, and you certainly make a compelling argument that it is, how does it end? I mean, do outside powers like the U.S. have any leverage in that tension?
Well, that's exactly the problem, because as one observer put it to me, the military victory might be the easiest part of this. And of course, from what we're seeing, that's not looking very easy, right? So, but what you have at the end of the day is these deep sectarian tensions that have been there and will remain. And until Sunnis and Shia and Kurds can trust one another, Iraq is a fiction as a unified state.
Martin Smith with Frontline. His documentary, The Rise of ISIS, airs tonight on PBS. Thanks a lot, Martin. Great to speak with you.
Hey, Marco. Thank you.